It's 8 o'clock on Today. Coming up, rising tensions.
Iran will face the consequences for its actions.
Israel promising to retaliate against Iran following that unprecedented missile and drone attack, while protests calling for a ceasefire ramp up in cities across the U.S. We're live with the latest. Then, wake-up call. Inside, the new report detailing the psychological threat social media poses to young people. Straight ahead, what experts are saying must be done. Then, Michael Douglas live. We're sitting down with a Hollywood legend to talk about his latest project and a career first. You won't want to miss it. And let's groove. This morning, sounds from iconic artists joining the National Recording Registry. So who made the list? We've got all the details in Pop Star today, Tuesday, April 16th, 2024.
Today's show,
visiting from Elk Grove, California,
Columbus, Ohio,
Newton, Iowa,
Portland, Maine,
and Boston, Massachusetts.
Sending love to my sister Sarah,
watching in Burlington, Vermont.
Here to celebrate my birthday
and our 36th anniversary today.
Happy birthday, happy anniversary, happy everything. We're so happy you guys are out here. It's a beautiful Tuesday. Glad to have Chanel here while Craig is taking the morning off.
Good morning. A lot of folks outside.
Indeed.
The plaza bathes in sunshine.
We'll take it.
Yes,
we've been waiting for this. All right, guys, let's get to our news at 8 o'clock, though. Israel says it will retaliate for Iran's weekend aerial attack. However, the scope and targets of its response have not yet been revealed. Meantime, tensions over the war in Gaza spilled over into the streets of major U.S. cities. NBC's chief foreign correspondent Richard Engel is in Jerusalem. He's got the very latest. Richard, good morning.
Good morning. And once again, the Middle East is on tenterhooks. Will there be a wider war or not? Israel's war cabinet is meeting yet again today for the third day in a row to come up with a military response, it seems, to the attack by Iran over the weekend that was largely stopped by Israel and the United States. The hundreds of cruise missiles and drones that Iran fired nearly all shot down. But U.S. and Israeli officials do believe that Israel intends to respond, but is trying to find a way that its military response will not trigger a wider war and spread across the Middle East. President Biden has made it clear that he does not want to see an escalatory action, that this current round of violence began 2 weeks ago when Israel attacked the embassy compound of Iran in Damascus. Iran said it would respond. It did respond. That attack was stopped. The Biden administration saying, enough is enough. Let's move on. Let's get back to the ceasefire talks. But Israel believes that it must respond to reestablish deterrence. And all of this is playing out domestically in the United States with those protests you mentioned, pro-Palestinian demonstrators shutting down roads coast to coast yesterday. And House Speaker Johnson this week says he plans to forward a bill that could see more funding, more support for Israel. Hoda.
All right, Richard Engel for us there in Jerusalem. Richard, thank you.
Day two of jury selection today in New York for Donald Trump's hush money trial. The judge warning the former president yesterday his daily attendance at court is mandatory. NBC's Garrett Hake has more on what took place inside the courtroom and what's on tap for today. Garrett, good morning.
Hey, Savannah, good morning. And yeah, that question of attendance was one of several topics debated yesterday, with the judge ruling Mr. Trump cannot skip court in New York to attend Supreme Court arguments next week in his federal election case. Now, no decision was made on whether he can skip a Friday in May for his son's high school graduation. Mr. Trump sat silently for most of this first historic full day in court as a criminal defendant, but flashed his anger to the cameras afterwards.
If you read all of the legal pundits, all of the legal scholars today, there's not one that I see that said this is a case that should be brought or tried. It's a scam. It's a political witch hunt.
Jury selection for this case resumes this morning. More than half of the first group of jurors in the room yesterday were dismissed after telling the judge they could not decide this case fairly. No jurors have been selected so far. It's pretty clear this process of selecting the 12 jurors and their alternates could take a week or more before this trial gets started in earnest. Savannah?
Critically important step here, Garrett. Thank you very much.
The armorer on Alec Baldwin's Rust movie set was sentenced yesterday to the maximum term, 18 months in prison. 26-year-old Hannah Gutierrez-Reed was convicted of involuntary manslaughter in the death of the film's cinematographer, Helena Hutchins. She was fatally shot when a prop gun held by Baldwin fired a real bullet. The judge cited Gutierrez-Reed's lack of remorse in imposing the tough sentence. Baldwin faces his own involuntary manslaughter trial in July.
The legendary radio voice of the New York Yankees for over 35 years, John Sterling, has decided to retire. Sterling caught more than 5,600 regular season and playoff games, including 5 World Series championship runs. He's 85 years old. He recently cut back his schedule, and he's going to be honored before Saturday's Yankees-Rays game in the Bronx.
Classic. Good. All right, ahead on Popstart, inside the making of one of the biggest songs of all time, We Are the World. We remember this. One star is now revealing something pretty special 40 years later.
Plus, a new wake-up call for parents when it comes to kids, smartphones, and social media. The alarm now being sounded by the nation's top psychologists and what they are saying must be done right now to protect young users. But first, these messages.
Back now, 8:12, with new developments on a topic we have been following extensively here on Today, and we're talking about social media and smartphones and kids.
Yeah, well, the American Psychological Association is now out with a new report just this morning, and it is calling for more to be done right now to protect young people from the potential dangers here. NBC's Emily Aketa's got more. Emily, the APA is not mincing words here at all.
Yeah, that's right. Good morning to you both. The American Psychological Association says change is needed soon, and they believe that responsibility falls on the social media platforms themselves. The new report names, quote, particularly risky features that the APA says capitalize on the vulnerabilities of young people's developing brains.
This morning, the American Psychological Association demanding change from social media platforms, a head-turning report detailing what it says are psychological threats to young people. The highly respected group writing in part, platforms built for adults are not inherently suitable for youth. Youth require special protection. The APA calling out features like endless scrolling, likes and follower counts, and push notifications that it says capitalizes on developing brains that are more sensitive to impulses, social feedback, and distraction. According to a recent survey noted by the group, more than half of teens reported at least one symptom of clinical dependency on social media, something families described in today's deep dive into the impacts of screen time last fall.
It can be really addicting.
They can begin to really hinder your life more than they do help it.
Instead of liking yourself, it's how much everybody likes you.
The report also noting how the freedom to scroll around the clock has been cited as the predominant reason why adolescents are getting less than the recommended amount of sleep. It comes nearly a year after the U.S. Surgeon General issued a landmark health advisory on social media use in adolescents.
We see rates of depression and anxiety and suicide and loneliness going up among young people. And I'm concerned that social media is an important driver of that youth mental health crisis. This is the defining public health issue of our time.
The APA writing there's been few meaningful changes since then, but some social media companies disagree, including Meta, the company behind Facebook and Instagram, which recently launched nighttime nudges to push young people to close the apps and now also allows parents to schedule breaks for their kids on the platforms. Without laying out specific changes, the APA says there must be a comprehensive approach to fully address the dangers of an increasingly screen-reliant world.
And the APA says the onus falls on social media companies to protect their youngest users, but parents can help too. Its chief science officer recommends all devices in a household go on top of the fridge at 9 p.m. And hey, it can help adults too.
Yeah, unless you have a ladder, because then those kids will climb up and just grab it, Emily.
They'll find a way.
Yeah, let's bring in Tom Kirstein. Mm-hmm. He's a family therapist who has extensively researched and written about the impact of social media and smartphones on children and family. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
None of this will come to as a surprise to you whatsoever. But, you know, just on that point, we could be waiting around forever for these social media and technology companies to do the right thing. They're not gonna. It's really up to parents, isn't it?
Yeah, it's certainly. I mean, you know, these companies, social media companies, they're in the business of having people's eyeballs on their products as long as possible. That's where they make their money. So me, when I'm out there lecturing, I have a lecture tomorrow night, I speak specifically to parents and kids, give them the information they need to understand, you know, what this is actually doing to kids' brains, their development, their social skills, their communication skills, their mental health. And, you know, I really implore parents, and I try to empower them to take control under your own roof, one household at a time.
Well, I think one of the most interesting things that I read in the note was that the brain is most pliable for a child between the ages of 0 and 1, and then in puberty, which is when the kids are really knee-deep into those smartphones. So what kind of damage can be done there?
Yeah, so, you know, a young brain, there's this area called the prefrontal cortex, which doesn't fully develop until about 25 years old. So it renders younger kids more likely to be impulsive and to do risky things. So they can't help themselves for that immediate gratification, even if they're thinking about what the potential long-term consequences are. Their brains just don't allow them to do that. So it's certainly having an impact there.
And the algorithm, whether it's social media or even smartphones and the ding of getting a text, it is designed to trigger your dopamine levels. So you're basically getting a drug hit, an internal drug hit every single time. And then we're expecting that not to have a long-term effect on these developing brains.
So I tell people kids are like basically walking around with a never-ending IV drip of dopamine. And all these things target that pleasure-seeking part of the brain. And when that stimuli is removed, if mom or dad take the phone away, I see this on a daily basis at my private practice, kids have an absolute meltdown and crash.
You were saying that it's like withdrawal. It's like a drug withdrawal, and you're seeing more violence in kids because of that?
I'll have parents call me up, 10, 11-year-old kid. Kid has 12 holes in his bedroom wall, got physical with the mom, and then the kid comes to my office, and it's this like little, nice-looking kid. And it's literally, that's the withdrawal. Wow. It's like if you take a drug away, we have this balance. It's called homeostasis. When there's an imbalance, stimuli is removed. Bang, you react mentally and physically.
I feel like a lot of parents are trying, and there are movements, and Savannah's part of one too, and I want to be part of one, to stop smartphones from being in the hands of kids. But sometimes you're up against it because they get their school homework on the smartphone or on the iPad, and the kid needs the technology, or some parents believe they need to keep up with their kid.
Now, the smartphone, I'm a big believer that schools shouldn't have phones even entering the school building, but it's really... The problem is really with the parents because it's become sort of like the umbilical cord. They become dependent.
But that's a problem too.
Yeah, it really is. But just it's a distraction. When kids have it in their pockets during the school day.
What about getting assignments and stuff that kids feel like I need it, so I have to have this?
Unfortunately, you know, a lot of academics right now is done through, you know, laptops and iPads. I mean, sometimes there's assignments on the phone.
But that's different than a smartphone. I mean, I think it feels like the emerging consensus is that you should try to delay a smartphone until at least high school. Social media, the Surgeon General says, not before 16. Mm-hmm. And why aren't these schools just banning phones during school hours? Because I've seen in the high school where my kids go, I mean, kids in between periods, they're checking the phone. Yeah. Recess, they're checking the phone. No one's looking at each other or talking to each other.
Precisely. And that's what that's affecting. It's affecting their social and emotional development because they're now glued and hypnotized here and not doing what you and I are doing right here. And the reason why schools... are hesitant to do it is they're afraid of litigation, getting sued by parents, because the parents feel the need to have to know where their kids are all the time. Like I said, it's like the umbilical cord. So some schools have, schools that I've spoken at around the country.
Yeah. And
the results of schools that have banned phones is unbelievable. Mental health episodes down substantially, test scores up.
I mean, the irony that your parents, you know, and we all understand we're parents and it's no, you know, there's no shame in anyone's game, but it's like when you look at the research like that, you want to be attached to your kid because you want them to be safe. Mm-hmm. They'd be a lot safer at school having a normal school day without a smartphone.
Yeah. Yep. That's it.
We could go on and on. This is my rant for today, but there are a lot of gadgets now that are available, either a dumb phone, like a flip phone, or there's the Gizmo Watch or the Gab phone. These little things where you can text mom and say, hey, I made it here, or I'm walking home now, I'll see you in 20 minutes, that aren't the smartphones that go right to kids' dopamine center.
Yeah, there's one called the Gab Wireless, G-A-B-B. Yeah. So it looks exactly like your iPhone, right? We call it a dumb phone because all you could do is text, make phone calls, and you can take photos. But there's no internet access.
Yeah.
So if you have a young kid that's the only one that doesn't have a phone, that can, you know, ameliorate that for that kid.
And you only text who you're set up to be able to text with.
Yeah. People. Yeah, just whoever's in your contacts.
God,
we could go
fire.
On and on. Come we're on fire. I mean... On the mommy warpath. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Thank you so much. Thanks, we want to send it over to Al.
Get it done, people. Come on. How hard is this? Anyway, we're looking at a beautiful day here in the Northeast. Record highs through the Southeast into the Gulf. Looking for severe storms in the mid-Mississippi and Ohio River valleys. Fire risk developing down through Texas. Sunshine out west. Best time of the morning.
I feel like we almost have to do like an hour special.
Oh, it's saying, so good.
Because like we're all parents. We're all saying off the air the same thing. It's an epidemic with kids and their phones.
We did an hour last
and Tom is
we
so great. We never have enough time.
I know.
I was back there just watching this going, but I had so many things to say and to add, but like my kids are in school and
He's right over there.
It's fine. So you need to move in, Tom.
He's actually got his book. Hang on. We just want it on the air. It's fine.
Bring the books.
These are
pot of pop start.
Cool.
This is,
that's a good ones?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Also, parents don't help. Sometimes I actually text my teenager while he's at school. I can't do that.
No, don't.
Right. I'm guilty of that too. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom.
Our parents didn't do that when we were kids.
Right.
No, okay.
No,
it's all good.
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Thomas. Good stuff there, though. Good conversation.
It's
important.
It's real.
All right. Pops are also important, parents. First up, the Library of Congress. This morning, they've announced the 2024 class of inductees into the National Recording Registry. Now, the recordings are selected as some of the, quote, defining sounds in history and culture. Let's take a look at some of the hottest hits on the list, starting off with the disco era. How about a little ABBA, everybody? Ooh. Dancing Queen, ABBA's 76 album Arrival is an eternal hit at Sweet 16s and weddings alike. Next up, let's go all the way back to the 1950s for a Perry Como classic. Two tracks on the registry this year, shifting gears to the 90s and one of the biggest rap hits of all time. Big Papa by late artist known as Biggie Smalls. It's celebrated for his 1994 project Ready to Die. Great record. And the list has so many stars. Honorable mentions, Lily Tomlin, Jefferson Airplane, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, making the list as well. All right, we move on. We'll stick to the music theme. And Huey Lewis, the legendary musician, opening up about lending his voice to the iconic 1985 supergroup song We Are the World, recently explored in a new Netflix documentary on one of the episodes of his Apple Music show with Kenny Loggins. Huey revealing the big surprise that he learned while watching that documentary. Oh.
I learned for the first time that you're the guy that recommended me for Prince's line. But it's in the documentary, but I never knew until then.
It's funny. Yeah. Michael came up to me and said, well, Prince isn't going to be here. Who should sing the solo line? I said, the best singer in here is Huey Lewis.
Aren't you great? Well, I owe you a big thing.
I was a fan.
Yeah, you never knew.
It is one of the greatest documentaries ever.
Yeah, it's very good.
Fantastic.
That's your quick pop start today, guys.
Guys, just feast your eyes. We've got an icon right here. Oscar winner Michael Douglas.
Yes.
Woo-hoo. And doing something he's never done before. Yay. 8:30 now. It is a Tuesday morning and a beautiful morning out on our plaza. Pause for selfie. We got a great crowd out here. Boy, the sun is shining. It's feeling good. We had a lot of rants today. Fired up. And we're extra fired up because we have a great one in this studio.
Yes, we do.
A buzz went through the room. Michael Douglas is here.
Wow.
We're going to sit down with him to chat about his incredible career and tackling something new and super challenging, his latest role, Ben Franklin.
Mm. That's a star.
That's a star right there. Star.
That's it.
Bona fide.
That's what it's all about.
That's what
everybody thinks they're famous these days.
No.
That's what it looks like.
Can we just also say
the gold standard.
One of the nicest people you'll ever meet.
That too. All right. And our dear friend Jill Martin is here, and she'll be here with Steals and Deals to get you squared away for Mother's Day early and for less.
All right. Plus, we're going to dive into the Olympics preview. We got Keir Simmons standing by live in Paris. We're going to get ready for a huge celebration. Also, right here tomorrow on the show, we're going to transform this place into the city of light. Team USA hopefuls, fan giveaways, exclusive announcements, and a whole lot more as we continue to celebrate the countdown to Paris here.
All right. And then coming up on the third hour of today, not only will we have another visit from Mr. Michael Douglas, but we've got Hollywood icon George Takei. He is going to be with us sharing his important new project as he gets ready to celebrate, get this, his 87th birthday.
All right. Can we get a check of the weather?
You know, actually, guys, we got some of your biggest fans right here. They've actually made some fans for us. What's your name?
Annabelle.
So there's one for me, and one for Chanel right over here. And here's one for Carson. Carson, here's one for you.
You guys are so clever.
And Savannah.
My only fan.
And for Hoda. These are really,
really
these are really sweet. Oh, they've got a little weather map on them. Those are well done. Thank you so much.
Happy birthday.
And you turned 10. Double digits. Good for you. All right. Let's show you what we've got going on. I think I have the vapors. For today, record highs in the southeast. We're looking at a fire risk in Texas. Sunshine and through the southwest. Severe storms in the upper Ohio and Mississippi River valleys. Tomorrow, we are looking at wet weather making its way into the northeast. Rocky snow, some warmth continues through the Gulf, and sunshine through the southwest along the west coast. And that is your latest weather.
Thank you.
Oh, Hoda.
Oh, our rocker. Hey. All right, coming up next, as we said, we'll go one-on-one with an Oscar-winning legend, Michael Douglas, now taking his legendary career in a brand new direction. But first, this is Today on NBC.
We are back, 8:35, with a Hollywood legend, Michael Douglas. After more than 50 years in front of and behind the camera, he's taking on a whole new era in the new Apple TV Plus series, Franklin. It explores the period of time when Benjamin Franklin traveled to France on a secret mission, using his ample American charm to win support. Michael Douglas, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Savannah. Nice to see you.
You too. You're doing something you've never done before.
I
never done a period piece.
Never done one.
Were you afraid of powdered wigs?
No, I was afraid of my legs and tights. I've got skinny legs. I was worried about how I was going
I don't know. I think you wear it well. I mean, Ben Franklin is so iconic, but a really colorful and charismatic character. People say he's like the founding father you'd want to hang out with.
I'd say that's true. He's an extraordinary guy. I mean, a lot of us, I knew him as far as my sort of sixth grade high school class, you know. And he was a guy who only went to school for 2 years, a formal school training, left school at 12. And then went on to be this voracious writer, publisher, editor. He created the University of Pennsylvania, created our postal service, our libraries, and then all the inventions he made between electricity
rod.
By fire, all of that. So he was just an amazingly well-versed, super intelligent guy. But our series, Franklin, is about a unique time I didn't know, which is when he was 70. After he had signed the Declaration of Independence in 1776, 6 weeks later, the founding fathers say, look, we're in big trouble. We were in a war with England. We have a tattered army. George Washington can't hold off. We need you, Ben, to sail across the Atlantic, which in 1800s was like 90 days
on
a ship.
It wasn't a luxury cruise liner.
It was not a luxury cruise. And we need you to talk to King Louis XVI, the head of the largest monarchy, to get their help and support to support this brand new democracy. And it was, you know, he had no real background in this. It was all sort of by improvisation, filled with thieves and spies that are going on. And it was an extraordinary, and the truth be told, and what I loved about doing the show, was if we did not get that help from France, America would never have existed. It would have been a colony before, so we have a lot to thank the French for.
Absolutely. I mean, and not to overstate the parallels here, I mean, Ben Franklin did something out of his comfort zone.
Right.
You're doing something out of your comfort zone. Why? Like, you could just be resting on your ample laurels. I mean, you have played iconic character after iconic character. I was just going through them today. I mean, Gordon Gekko, President Andrew Shepherd, Dan from Fatal Attraction. He was such a jerk, you know, in the end, don't you think?
Well, he got away with it.
Yeah, he did. I mean, what made you, what still gives you that drive to stretch?
Trying something new. You know, just at this point in my career in the last few years, what haven't I done? What I want to try to do? Comedy was something I always admire. I did this show, The Kominsky Method, sort of learn more about comedy. I had never done a green screen movie, so I did the Ant-Man series. And this was a period picture. And in my 50 plus years, I've never done a period film. So I wanted to do that. And at the same time, I learned this extraordinary amount about history. Yeah. Of our country and the kind of parallels that exist today in terms of the struggles that we're having and appreciating just how valuable independence and democracy is.
Yeah, I mean, it was Franklin who famously said it, you got a republic if you can keep it. It's so very fragile. Can we just have a little fun? Who is the character you were happiest to say goodbye to that you played?
Happiest to say goodbye to?
Or least liked?
Oh, I would have to say, oh, that's a tough one. Maybe the guy in Black Rain. I was happy to say goodbye to him. Maybe the character in The War of the Roses.
Oh, yeah.
It reminded me too much of myself.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
What about the falling down guy?
That's true. Defense.
Yeah.
Yeah, Defense. That's a very good pick.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Defense, once he got across L.A., you know, I think it was time for him to go. But he did. He went.
Who's been your favorite, the character you love and would even want to play again if you could?
Well, I hate to say Liberace, but I had a lot of fun with Liberace. Romancing the Stone, that character Jack Colton was a lot of fun. I would probably enjoy the ones that are kind of have a little of the Franklin flair to them, you know, a little tongue in cheek, a little humor, and try to be a little witty, but be a bad boy.
Yeah, and you do have that. When you look back at all of the films you've done, you are so often a zeitgeist moment. I mean, I think about, yeah, The American President, but even Fatal Attraction.
Right.
And basically
China Syndrome.
All those movies. And you were producer for One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Wall Street. How does that happen to you? Are you just good at picking your projects?
I think so. I mean, yeah. I always think about not my part, but I always think about just the material, you know, whether I'm producing it or not. In other words, I want to make sure that the script, the story is good.
Yeah.
And then I'm attracted to these sort of ambivalent characters. You know, I like kind of the audience guessing, or I like being sort of a bad guy, the audience isn't going to root for you, and then you win them over. Those are sort of challenges, but it's all about the material and less about the part.
Yeah. And finally, you and Catherine are empty nesters now, but it looks like, if I'm looking at Instagram correctly, that you're having fun. Like Dylan and Carrie, you guys are traveling the world a little bit.
We are. Catherine and I are blessed with the fact that our kids, Dylan and Karis, still like to travel with us. And so we just finished 5 weeks in India at Christmas time.
Wow.
And we're always planning next year what our trips will be and where we're going to go.
Is it fun to hang out with your adult kids?
It's just a treat, you know, especially when you're not forcing them. We say, but Catherine, look at that. They actually want to hang out with us. I said, you know, it's good. But we got good trips. We seduce them with the good places to go.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. If you were to try to do like a road trip through, yes, you might not get such good responses. Thank you so much. It's great to catch
Thanks
up with
Savannah.
You.
My pleasure. Good to see you.
You too. You're back with more in our next hour. And you can catch Franklin. It's streaming right now on Apple TV Plus. New episodes every Friday. Hoda, over to you.
Beautiful conversation, SG. All right, coming up next, Jill's here with a special Steals and Deals to get you all set for Mother's Day. Yeah. But first, this is Today on NBC. We're back with Steals and Deals. Mother's Day's right around the corner, and now it's the time to get the special gift for the women in your life. Our dear friend, Today lifestyle and commerce contributor Jill Martin Brooks is here. And to shop along, you know what to do. Scan the QR code. All right, so we're getting ready. Mother's Day is, what, May?
Yes. It's
coming
up. We have to order now,
weeks.
And I want to set you up. And this is a very special Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, and to my mama.
Of course.
What a year. Okay, so let's start with something cozy and comfy.
Oh, I like it.
Okay, so this is amazing from Barefoot Dreams. Let's go over the retail price. $116. The deal price is $49. That's 58% off. It is a blanket that they made into a cardigan. What more can you ask for?
For the delicious. This is for the plane.
For the plane to wear binge watching, to wear out for lunch, over a slip dress, over jeans and a t-shirt. So this is unbelievable. It's lightweight. It's in that delicious material, nylon and rayon that the blankets are made in. So you know it's comfy.
I love it.
Machine washable, extra small to 3X. The deal price, $49. That's 58%
off. You know
what
you would do? You would have like five of those in your house and you would hand them out like you do. And everyone gets cozy when they watch movies.
I mean, fabulous.
All right, let's go to candles.
So these always sell out fast. And they come with the box, so I know you love that. The Sade de France Pagoda Candle, the retail, $44. The deal price is $19. That's 57% off. And this is not just for Mother's Day. This is a self-love day.
Of course.
This is for everything, to just set the tone of your home. Also, this beautiful box that it comes in, this French-style box with the beautiful tassel. I mean, it's really
I like
fabulous.
The tassel.
Okay, so the number the bestsellers are on today.com. The okay. Sense. Okay, so the deal price is $19. That's 57% off.
Okay, everybody needs one of these bags because they hang right. Okay. This is the bag you need.
So the drop on this is so great because you can adjust it. Uh-huh. But that's a good one on you, color.
By the way, it fits just right.
Okay, so the Tote Le Mans Barcelona bag, the retail $595. The deal price is $89, 85% off. This is the lowest deal we've had on a bag from this brand, and they always blow out. So interesting colors, beautiful leather, the supple leather, organization on the outside, plus the zipper on the outside with the knot tassel, super on trend. Oh. The deal price is $89. That's 85% off. And pick a color. If you don't have a black bag, start with the black. Mm-hmm. Obviously, everyone needs a great black bag. But if you don't, start. This is the time to get a fun color.
I like the gold.
Lilac and brown and white. Beautiful.
All right, jewelry time, girl.
Okay, so I am wearing some of it right now. The Cubic Zirconia by Kenneth J. Lane, a brand you know, the CZ Jewelry. There's 15 different styles. Mm-hmm. Sterling silver or gold plated. The retail price, $40 to $125. The deal price, $19 to $42, up to 66% off.
Look at this guy.
Look at the sun. So I love you to the moon and back, and all the beautiful different, you are my sun, moon, and stars.
Love it.
All the different things, but these are really substantial and beautiful. The heart, super on trend, the hoop earrings, the cubic zirconia, and with lab-grown diamonds these days, you don't know the difference. Nobody knows.
You can't tell.
So what a great gift. These are the emerald-shaped, I mean, great studs.
Love.
Wonderful gift by Kenneth J. Lane.
Okay. All right.
We have the DL for Douglas, because that was such a treat meeting him. Mm-hmm. The Toscana Monogram cheese cutting board and tool set. It comes with four tools. So the retail is $55.95. The deal price is $28, 50% off. Reviewers say it's the perfect size for a charcuterie board, for cheese. It looks like you put time into it. You could put the last name, your kids. Savannah likes a charcuterie board.
She just made one this weekend. We're going to hear all about it later.
Oh,
but here's
great.
The cool thing. It's a great housewarming gift, too. You could give it
amazing.
To someone.
And
I like
with
it.
These tools.
I like the tools.
So the deal price, $28, 50% off.
Okay, bring
last
us home.
Last but not least, this comes in this beautiful box. And you see, I'll read it to you.
Read it.
Because you're amazing. Okay. And it's handmade soap. So it's the Handmade Soap Company. It's a three-piece gift set. Mm-hmm. The retail price is $70. The deal price is $28. That's 60% off. It's made. You get the shower gel, the body lotion, and the hand cream.
Hand cream.
Cedarwood scented shower gel, the body lotion, and the hand cream.
This is
also
hand cream.
Delicious. And you get the full size set.
Smells like a spa.
It's really, you know what?
Nice.
It's great as just a take care of yourself spa day. Comes in the beautiful box, already gifted. Again, $28. That's 60% off.
Jill, thank you. Will you run through the products one more time real quick?
Yes, for all the mommies and mother figures. We have the Barefoot Dreams Cozy Chic Circle Cardigan, the Seda France Pagoda Candle, the Tote Le Mans Barcelona Bag, the Cubic Zirconia Jewelry by Kenneth J. Lane, the Toscana Monogram Board and Tool Set, and the Handmade Soap Company 3-Piece Gift Set.
All right, Jill, thank you. Start shopping. Scan the QR code. Head to today.com/deals. But wait, there's more. Chanel is out on our plaza. She's got a special surprise. Hey, girl.
I do. I have three sweet moms who are getting an early Mother's Day treat thanks to our sponsor, Wells Fargo Credit Cards. You're going home with some products featured on this morning's segment. I've smelled these things. They're so nice. We're going to start with Deb. You didn't see this coming? Oh, I thought you knew. That's why I was here. It's for you. Happy Mother's Day. I hear you have one daughter and one son.
Yes.
God bless you. Happy Mother's Day. Toya. Happy Mother's Day to you. Wichita Falls, Texas. She has a daughter and a son, right? And we have another. How about Carol? Here you go. You guys didn't know that's why I was here.
Oh,
how special
thank
is
you.
That? Happy Mother's Day. You have a son in the Air Force.
I do. I'm Chris.
Salute his service. And from love Bear, you. Delaware. Happy Mother's Day. How many moms do I have out here? Yay! Happy Mother's Day, ladies. Oh, that's so nice. It's nice to be nice, Hoda, isn't it?
I know. You were so sweet at that. Happy Mother's Day to you too, Chanel. Coming up next, guys, we're heading to Paris. Kira's checking out one of the most interesting venues at the Olympics. But first, this is Today on NBC.
We're back now with our countdown to Paris.
That's right. The Olympics arrive in just 101 short days, if you're keeping track. Mm-hmm. And I am. NBC's Keir Simmons is already gearing up for all the action in the City of Light, which is where we find him now. Bonsoir, Keir.
I say bonjour. Bonjour, bonjour. That's the Grand Palais. That's the Pont d'Alexandre, otherwise known as Lover's Bridge. And of course, that is the Seine. All will play a starring role in the coming Olympics. But will the river be ready? The Today Show sent me, I'm not kidding right now, they sent me to test the waters.
Winding through Paris,
famously separating the left and right banks, the Seine is set to be the centerpiece of the Games. For the first ever opening ceremony outside of a stadium, and, hopefully, the swimming leg of the triathlon. Olympic hopefuls braved its waters at a test event last summer. President Macron says he plans to dive in, along with Olympic officials.
I already did it last year, and I all did it before the Games with the mayor of Paris.
Oh, look! A major cleanup operation began 7 years ago, a more than $1 billion project. But tests carried out for NBC News this past weekend found high levels of bacteria in the water, caused in part, experts say, by recent flooding.
When there is no rain for several weeks, let's say 2 or 3 weeks without rain, you can actually reach really good water quality conditions.
These kayakers volunteer to find garbage in the river every week, but say the water is safe.
And you were in the water?
Yeah.
And you're okay?
Think, yeah, do you think I'm good enough?
Hopes hinge on the soon-to-be-completed $100 million Austerlitz Basin, designed to catch rainwater and relieve the stress on the city's sewage system.
Predators in the 5 mile through Paris.
If it works, then this Olympics will turn back time to when Parisians would cool off in the river. And while swimming in the Seine by the public was banned in the city in 1923, the year before the last Paris Olympics, the rule was not always followed.
Okay.
I'm relying on you.
A little upstream in a peaceful village just outside Paris last year, I met up with a friend from French TV who lives by the river and swims in it.
I guess you just do it.
A chance to truly test the water.
It's actually really, really lovely out here. Peaceful, beautiful, quintessentially French.
The life is good here.
I can say I swam in the Seine.
Wow, Keir.
You did it, Keir.
That was what a life.
I'm okay.
You survived it. All right, Keir, thanks. Don't forget our 100 Days to Go celebration tomorrow. We're going to be back.
Bonsoir.